Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here with you this morning. I didn't realize that your pastor had such an important role in my being elected a bishop. I don't know if I should thank you or not. There are two ways of looking at that. But it is an honor to be with you here this morning. It really is. I appreciate the invitation to come. I say this everywhere I go, but this is the fun stuff that I get to do. And every time I come into a local congregation or come into a local church, it feels like coming home. I never dreamed that I would do anything but serve a local church. And the reason for that, it is because here in the local church is where faith meets daily life. This is where the hard questions of how do you live out your faith are a part of who we are. And as we work and study and try to be the best Christians we possibly can, this is the fellowship that helps us through that. So I'm always a bit surprised that I'm not serving a local church, but I thank you for the many ways in which you are faithful members. And it is indeed a real pleasure to be here. And the music is fabulous. Thank you. And the dancers, let's also give everybody, oh my gosh, it's great. Thank you. Thank you. Well, as you heard before, I served for 8 years in the Dakotas Conference, living for 4 years in Fargo and then moved the office down to Mitchell. So I lived in both North Dakota and South Dakota. And one of those summers when I was in the Dakotas, I had the opportunity to visit the Crazy Horse Monument. Have any of you been to Crazy Horse Monument? Okay. It had been years since I'd been there. And I think the last time I had been there was when I was a little girl, and I have to admit I wasn't terribly impressed with it. But not this time. Oh my goodness, if you ever go to South Dakota, you must see not only Mount Rushmore, but Crazy Horse. And not only was I impressed with what I saw, but I was deeply touched by what I saw, by the Native American Museum, by the school, by the story of the monument, and especially the importance of this monument to the Native Americans of South Dakota. It was a powerful experience. And we were given the opportunity that time to go on that outstretched arm of Crazy Horse and to see the work up close. It was a wonderful experience. Before we left, however, we were allowed to pick up a stone that had once been part of the mountain. And I picked up a stone about so big. And I picked it because I could see the various kinds of elements that made up that stone. There was mica and quartz and granite, and I thought it was a beautiful stone. I guess as I think about it, my family has quite a thing about rocks and stones. I don't know if your children did this, but from the time that my sons were little, they would pick up stones every chance they could, and I would invariably need to empty the pockets of their jeans before I washed them, because otherwise you'd have a washer full of stones and rocks. And literally every time we have moved for, I can't tell you, maybe 20, 25 years, we have moved this great, big, heavy bucket of geodes that our boys picked up somewhere while we were in Iowa. There is something fascinating about rocks, about stones. In fact, I have to confess that in my office, I have a beautiful agate that was cut in half and the sides were polished, and I use that as bookends. They mean a lot to me, and I have literally carried them and moved them ever since I was in college. Even Michigan has a state stone. You know what it is? The Petoskey Stone. Yeah, named after the Ottawa chief Petosega, if I'm pronouncing that right, which means rising sun or rays of dawn. So stones somehow are important to us, and they are important images in our theology. A stone is forever. It's unchanging. It's eternal. Listen to these biblical passages. God, the rock of our salvation, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. A wise man built his house upon the rock. And those are just a few of the references. There are stories that involve the use of stones in Genesis. Jacob has this vision of the ladder to heaven. And what does he do when he wakes up? In the morning, he takes the stone that he had used as a pillow. He anoints it. He sets it up as a sacred stone, a reminder that God was in that place. On the day of Transfiguration, when Jesus and several of his disciples heard the voice of God saying, "This is my son, my beloved," what did Peter want to do? He wanted to take three stones and build altars to commemorate such a significant moment. And in the Old Testament book of Joshua, as the Israelites were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, unsure how they were going to cross the River Jordan, God parted the waters, if you remember that story, so that the people could walk across to the Promised Land. And to mark that miraculous event, 12 stones were taken from the bottom of the river, 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel. And they were set up on the far bank as a reminder of God's gift of deliverance and freedom and hope. Time and time again, whenever a place became holy, stone altars were placed there to remind those who saw them that God was in that holy place. That's why we put stones on the graves of our loved ones, as a reminder of the steadfastness of God's presence and guidance, a symbol of hope, a symbol of eternity. Sacred stones, symbol of an unmoving, unchanging presence of God. Well, my friends, we stand here today in the midst of these sacred stones. Stones that were placed here by the vision and the faith of those who've gone on before, placed by faithful people as a sign of hope, as a symbol to this community that God is present here. And I am very honored to be part of this special 50th celebration. It's a great day. But there are a couple of ways of looking at these sacred stones. Certainly, we celebrate the sacred stones of this physical building we call the church. Its beauty, its statement to the community, it's magnificent. It speaks of God here in this place. It says that the people of God worship here, that the message of Christ is proclaimed here. It is a testament to God's faithfulness and our faithfulness to God. And yet, this building, as lovely as it is just a building if we don't use it to the glory of God. What is most important is what goes on within this building, and because of this sacred space, that is the greatest tribute to God. Listen to the words from 1 Corinthians. "For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building, according to the grace of God. I laid the foundation. Someone else is building on it." And we read further, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." Do you hear what Paul is saying? Important as it is for this building to be a visible symbol of faith, what is even more important is the visible presence our lives and our actions are to the people of this community and to the world. You are that temple. That's why it was very clear to me when I was asked to come. Your pastor made it very clear that we aren't just celebrating the 50th anniversary of the consecration of this building, but we are celebrating the 50th anniversary of the consecration of this building and ministry. This church exists so that each time we enter this sacred space, we will find in here the strength, the inspiration, and the tools necessary to leave and to go out into the world. Everything we do is done for that greater purpose. Whether we're raising our hymns of praise or baptizing a child, whether we're sharing a meal or joining two in marriage or offering loved ones back to God, whether we're reaching out to the last and the hurting, whether we are offering Bible studies or confirmation programs, we become the visible presence of God. And our actions become testaments to the power and presence and glory of that God that we worship within this sacred space. You are God's servants. You are God's building. You are that temple. Listen again to the words from 1 Peter, which were read so nicely, so beautifully this morning. Come to Christ, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight. And like living stones, let yourselves be built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. My friends, these stones, these sacred stones, have been placed here, as we read further in Peter, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of God who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. So with Christ as our foundation stone, and with the message of Christ pushing us beyond these walls, let us remember that important and as beautiful as this space is, that even with all the sacred events that take place within these walls, that as much as we love this holy, holy place, Christ's call is for us to leave and to go into the world and to do his work. That's our challenge. That's our call. And when we begin to falter, or when we become fearful of where we are being led, or when we become afraid of what our next step needs to be, let us remember that the God who walked with those who laid these stones, the God who guided them, the God who strengthened them and gave them vision for what we could be, that same God will continue to walk beside us into that future, whatever that future may look like. So today, may God bless these sacred stones. But more importantly, may God continue to bless you and sanctify all that you do and will continue to do, so that by word and deed and action, God's name will be glorified through you and God's kingdom will be brought here on earth. And may the people of God say together, Amen. And amen.